Welcome back to a special in the community edition of the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are continuing our live broadcast from the Largo Student Center at Prince George's Community College. This is a collaboration with United Way National Capital Area. And of course, this is the 8th annual Project Community Connect. Remember that. The Project Community Connect. This event is focusing on providing critical services to those who are at risk of or experiencing homelessness and so much more. We want to remind you that we have no phone calls tonight, but of course this information will be posted on our website, this podcast, as all of them are, after 8:30 tonight on WHUR.com. So joining me now are Heath Kerlock. He is the program director, United Way National Capital Area Financial Empowerment Center at Prince George's Community College. Lakeisha Agnew, Public Health Outreach Supervisor, Mary Center, and Desiree Ramsour, Manager of College and Career Services at Hillside Work Scholarship Connection. Thank you all so much for joining the conversation. I really appreciate you coming in.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Let me first talk to you, Heath, about the partnership between United Way and the community college, Prince George's Community College. How does it work? How does it help the community?
This is a multi-year, million-dollar-plus commitment by the United Way of the National Capital Area in partnership with Prince George's Community College, which is an anchor institution in the community. And a lot of responsibility lies on a community college to deliver economic development, economic opportunity by way of education and other programming connectedness to the workforce. We're fascinated by the clientele that comes through here, whether it's, you know, a parent who is already non-traditionally aged and getting that type of education, or a student who's duly enrolled and only 16 years old and looking to be first generation and get through to college and into grad school. There's so many promising educational institutions in our region that can put people on a path towards education, higher ed. So this is a unique partnership to nestle in financial empowerment within a higher education context, but also noting that a community college is responsible to all of its citizens in the community, and we have been able to work that successfully in the nation's capital area. We focus on improved credit, increased savings, reduced debt, and increased use of financial products that put people on a path to wealth building and financial stability. And that's a really key point to make.
I want to talk a little bit more about that, because that's fascinating to me. There is this financial literacy, financial empowerment movement that has been going on now for many, many years. Are you surprised to find out what people don't know?
Well, I'll start by saying that financial literacy is not a destination. It's a resource and a means on way to something greater. Financial literacy should be treated as a baseline, but unfortunately it's been neglected in certain contexts, and without people being able to get that one item on the way to living a healthier lifestyle, a financially healthy lifestyle, it makes it very difficult to have built add-on discussions. In order to create value add, in order for people to have better credit scores, in order for people to have more savings, in order for people to try things like real estate or business investment or stock and bond investment, in order to have those greater conversations, you have to have that baseline. You have to feel comfortable with financial literacy. Even our teachers, there's data from PricewaterhouseCoopers that says that the average, you know, public school teacher doesn't feel comfortable teaching financial literacy because they themselves are traditionally underpaid, making it uncomfortable transition sometimes. Now, do some know that? Absolutely. Do we have initiatives in the community to educate youth? Absolutely, on financial education. But on the whole, not everyone feels comfortable talking about money because a lot of people haven't been good with it or haven't come from backgrounds in which they've been successful with it or it's been introduced successfully. So we try to nip that in the bud.
Lakeisha, talk to me about Mary Center and what you do regarding homelessness in Prince George's County.
Well, thank you, Harold.
Sure.
We are so excited to be here in partnership with United Way. And one thing about Mary Center, we are a community health center, and we serve over 65,000 people of all ages, income, backgrounds in the metro area. Mary Center is huge on community. We're huge on community and engagement and networking. And regarding the homelessness and how we address it, we work with different housing services, like housing counseling services. We work with agencies in Prince George's County and Washington, D.C. as well, and Montgomery County.
Mm-hmm. Talk to me about some of the challenges that your organization is facing trying to address homelessness, as you heard me mention in the earlier segment, in a county that has, you know, long had a reputation for affluence, high employment, and the like. So talk to me about that.
Well, one thing that we are doing, having events like we are here now, just to talk about it and get the resources regarding homelessness. I know particularly for what I do at Mary Center, as one of their care coordinators, specifically with HIV positive patients.
Mm.
Yes. So that is a huge, huge thing to deal with. So again, it's just really about networking with people. And unfortunately, there is a crisis with the homelessness, because even if you have these programs that provide housing, they're long wait lists. They're really long wait lists. You have some wait lists that can be up to a year and a half. So it's just really about digging deep, networking with people, finding all the resources, and some of them aren't always in your face.
Yeah,
we have to get out on the streets and we have to canvass. And as I've mentioned again, I can't stress it enough, network and engage.
I want to dig a little bit deeper into that too, but I want to go to you, Desiree, because you have a really unique perspective and position as it relates to employment. Talk to me about Hillside Work Scholarship Connection.
Sure. So Hillside Work Scholarship Connection is supporting high school students,
mm-hmm,
and looking at making sure they're on track to graduate. And part of our success has been connecting our students to employment training and then linking them to employment while they're in high school, because we understand that there are two different set of needs that are happening, and this was discussed earlier. There are the basic needs, and then there are the financial needs. And so for some of our young people, it's sometimes the difference between attending school or helping to bring income into the family.
Okay.
And so if they're able to focus on their education while also learning the job skills that they need to be successful, not only can they gain employment in school, but continue to have that employment post-high school, whether they decide to go on to college, pursue career full time, or if they decide to go into the military. So we're seeing them at the high school level and even at the middle school level, and making sure that what we consider our Youth Employment Training Academy is offered to them in a pre-YETA and YETA when they're in high school, so that we don't have the competition.
But that pre-YETA and YETA?
Youth Employment Training Academy.
Oh, okay. So how does that work? Because for young people who perhaps aren't going to go to college, mm-hmm, and may not choose the military as an option, what do they do? What direction does your organization steer young people towards? And this is why I ask, because as a native of this, area, growing up, there were a lot of folks, they were able to graduate from high school and jump right into a federal government job and work their way up to whatever. Is that still an option, or have things changed? What do you say?
Sure. So part of it is hearing from our young people and what their passions and desires are, right?
Okay.
And so we steer them in the direction that they choose to go, but we provide them with exposure and awareness through career partnerships, right? So we're working with the community, partnering with our beautiful nonprofit partners and our other partners in the community to give them the opportunity to gain information so that they know what's available. Because what was mentioned earlier is a lack of knowledge of opportunity, and there's a lot of things that they can tap into based on what is innate in their abilities and using those things to create paths for themselves, right? Entrepreneurship is something that we're seeing on the rise with the increase in social media presence of many different celebrities, right? So our young people, and they have a knack for it, and they have skill sets that they just don't know how to hone because they need the interpersonal and soft skills. And so we support them with gaining that, and then we connect them with others who are in those fields, so now they know what the course is for that path. But we don't steer them because we want them to make informed decisions by gaining exposure and awareness.
How do you know it's working?
Good question. So I'll use an anecdotal example of one of our graduates, because our program is voluntary and it is word of mouth, mostly by student referring other students. One of our students who had a choice and he needed to have employment. So he took a chance on Hillside and said, I'll see what you can offer me. And he graduated from high school. He went on to get his associates and became valedictorian of his class. And all along the way, he was employed with an employee partner. Okay. And so because he was able to meet some of his basic needs, he stayed with the program, graduated, went on to get his bachelor's degree, and now is supporting some of our other graduates who work at the same employee partner. So now he's a mentor and a supervisor to other graduates from our program because of the impact that the program had on him.
You know, Heath, earlier you were talking about financial empowerment, financial literacy, and I want to talk a little bit more about that, because I would imagine that there has to be an aha moment for the people that you serve, and I'll give you a short example. Just 2 weeks ago, you know, my daughter got a car, but the finance guy said, "Well, we need a check for your down payment," and my daughter looks at me because she's 24. Young people don't write checks, and yet. Because they have all other kinds of resources to move money. Are those the kind of conversations that you're having with not only perhaps the young people here, but also other people that may be using your services?
In the legal space, they have a terminology, time, space, and manner. And when it comes to money, people have different options these days to pay. You have PayPal, you have Zelle, you have Cash App, you have so many ways to move money, it's unprecedented. However, traditional ways and means of using money to pay for something as an exchange is still important to grasp, because you don't feel fully financially competent unless you have that as a resource. And some of these come from time taken in a workshop, mentoring, coaching, time spent even online. Some of these YouTube videos will show them, or TikTok videos will show them basics. But a lot of the flash that my colleague was just talking about is, it can work both ways. It can be a help in that it exposes people to big ideas that are on the horizon for them potentially to try out. But a lot of these come with risks. So there are pros and cons. And that's another area where people have to be walked through. So it's not just financial literacy, it's financial awareness.
And what do you mean by financial awareness?
So financial awareness is gaining understanding on whether something's a pro or a con, a risk or an opportunity. And we, you know, typically in the project management space, we talk about SWOT analysis: strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. There's a lot of threats out there associated with money that can really take people down. And they're sort of paths that people can go down and sometimes interrupt and not recover. And basically, you talked about a down payment. Well, there's down payments involved in multi-level marketing, right? Mm-hmm. Where you have to put money down. And most people, the majority of people, will fail at multi-level marketing, right? There's schemes on the internet. Oh, put in $400 and we'll do X, Y, and Z. There's a young student who was on some Facebook distribution at one point and told to put $400 towards something to get a PlayStation 4 at the time. And she did this, and the person took their money.
Yeah.
And so that $400 was super critical. You know the data behind the Federal Reserve Bank study that said almost half of all Americans can't afford a $400 emergency. That student couldn't afford that. They told me, right? So there are instances where students get ripped off, taken advantage of, because they don't have that awareness. But we want folks to move from awareness to responsibility.
Lakeisha, you mentioned something that struck me earlier. You spoke about the population that you're addressing who have HIV. And for a lot of people, first of all, COVID has overshadowed HIV as far as awareness. But then you see all of these pharmaceutical commercials about, you know, one pill to address HIV. And from a layman's perspective, they may think, well, yeah, HIV is still around, but people are no longer dying with HIV. They're living with HIV, and it's become normalized. But I would imagine there's an underbelly that people aren't seeing.
Absolutely. So let's address that. HIV is definitely still a public health issue. Mm-hmm. We do not want it to take the back seat to COVID, and it has. So with that being said, again, while we're out here talking about HIV, talking about prevention measures, modifying behaviors to reduce the risk in contracting HIV, and there's so many different programs that are out here, especially at Mary Center. And if I can just kind of highlight of what we're doing. So Mary Center is a medical community medical center, and we have wraparound services. So those services include medical. So we have primary care, infectious disease. We also have services for LGBTQ and affirming care, dental services, behavioral health, mental health, social services. So there are a myriad of different programs that we have. And HIV in particular, the area that I work in, public health, it's an issue, and we don't want to sweep it under the rug. And the goal is ultimately to end the epidemic, mm-hmm. right? And we have to do that by still educating, letting people know, yeah, many people aren't dying like they did many, many years ago, but it's still there, and we want to prevent you at all risk from contracting. So there's medications that you can take to prevent you, like PrEP, which is a pre-exposure prophylaxis. There's a new medication that you can take, an injectable, to prevent, called Aptitude. So there are many, many, many resources out there for the prevention of HIV, and that's why we're here to talk about it.
You mentioned earlier canvassing. Talk to me about that.
Oh, you have to do the footwork. You have to get out there and knock
on
doors. But
for people who don't understand what that may be.
Yes. So what that means is doing the footwork. You have to get out there and knock on doors. My team and I, we go to several organizations. We even test in pharmacies. And we're out there corner to corner talking to people, engaging, getting them comfortable about having that conversation just about sex. We start there just to get them to come and talk to us and get tested. So that's just definitely the goal.
Mm-hmm. Desiree, what is the thing in the work that you've done that has surprised you the most when you're helping these people, young people, make this transition from school to work?
Sure. So for us, because we provide them with the interpersonal skills, knowing how to have caring relationships outside of the organization, so building a network. Mm-hmm. Right, so going to work and then being able to have comfortable conversations with your supervisor and your colleagues about needs, because it does go back to what are the basic needs. And sometimes there can be shame associated with having those needs when you're in an environment where others have. Mm. And so helping our young people, we bridge the gap. And so we partner with employers to make sure they're informed about what may be going on in that young person's life, whether it's at home or in school, because sometimes young people mess up opportunities because they don't know how to take responsibility because they haven't been taught. And so helping them to know how to call out appropriately from work, when they have time to schedule for doctor's appointments or for special events that are happening, some of those basic skills can be the difference between retaining employment and losing it. And sometimes they just don't know the gravity of the decisions they're making. And so we help them to make the right decisions by being informed about what happens. So consequences are another thing that young people don't always understand. And so we help them to understand that through the relationships they have with these caring adults that work with them on a day-to-day basis in the school environment, connect with them at home and in the community, and then also support them when they get the job. So it's not just helping them get the job, but helping them to maintain, retain the job. And then, as I mentioned earlier, a young person who went on to build his career with the employer, not just have a job for mm-hmm. a short period of time, but for a long-term period of time.
So you mentioned it's called the Youth
Advocate, a Youth Advocate.
A Youth Training Academy.
Oh, yes, our Youth Employment Training Academy.
So how long
is the process? And you mentioned not just high school, but all the way back to middle school. Is this something that happens over the course of 6 months, a year, years? How does that work?
Great question. So they start with us in middle school, so we're prepping them to be ready for our training. And so they would be with us for up to 6 years.
Really?
Yeah. So they can be in our program for up to 6 years. If they start in high school, we follow them all 4 years. So they stay in our program, and then they connect back with us once they've graduated from high school. And so we do track their potential college aspirations, but we do have many of our students. We just had a couple of alum that came back and spoke to our staff about the impact that Hillside had on their lives and how they want to now give back and volunteer. So we are following our students. Again, when they are employed, we are connecting, doing job site visits if we can, exchanging emails with the employer, because we know it's the first opportunity a young person has. We don't want to throw them out there and they not have a safety net of some sort until they're able to stand on their own 2 feet and move forward in those career paths.
So once they graduate from high school, for example, tracking is one thing, but do you also offer them support? Or after you get your degree, you're like, okay, just come back and see us later.
Sure. So this is where our other partners come in. So we really believe in collaborative partnership. And there are some of our nonprofit partners who do track and will continue to support students. And we often will make referrals to those programs where our capacity currently is for high school. We do make sure that they're connected. So we like to do soft handoffs to different organizations that can support. Prince George's Community College is one of our partners. And so many of our students who come here, we already have introduced them to the support systems that are here for them so that it's a warm handoff. And then we connect and check in to make sure things are going okay.
Heath, what is the end goal for you and in the position that you serve for the community that you are addressing?
I think it applies to which service a person is using. So when it comes to financial counseling takes someone who's literally broke and helps them move to a point of financial stability. And the levels past financial stability would be something like financial independence, and then moving into financial security, and then moving into financial freedom. Now, all of those are different levels and have different defining points. But when you get to the security and planning levels, it requires the discussions about the basic financial plan. A basic financial plan is gonna talk about investment. It's gonna talk about the estate planning facet. It's gonna talk about the tax planning. It's gonna talk about retirement planning. And it's gonna talk about the notion of investment planning, right? And so when a person is able to outfit themselves past the idea of money management, that means that their eyes are on the prize, their eyes are on participating in the economy and all the creative ways that a person can level up. Owning your own business, being able to travel at will, being able to invest in other companies or start a franchise, being able to say, look, with someone else, I want to do some real estate, I want to flip some homes, I want commercial properties, right? Things like that. Those are the greater discussions about money. The thing that keeps me up at night is participating in the economy. That's essential. And so the average person in our area, we have the tale of three counties in Prince George's County, for example. We have the very affluent, which you alluded to earlier. We also have a number of people in Title I schools and neighborhoods that are more disadvantaged. And then we have a pretty sizable immigrant population. And while folks will come in here and we have resources to get them sort of equipped with ways to fundamentally get settled into the American way, it's not easy for folks to do that either. And so some students get redirected to the community college who have to use the food pantry, who have to use other wraparound services, and they need that. Desiree talked about what Hillside's able to provide. We have students who come from other feeder programs that also rely on that, from veterans all the way over to folks in the TRIO programs, right?
TRIO
is a student success program. There are a number of programs associated with focusing on students who need the extra advising support, need the extra support on transfer services, need the extra support on study skills, need the extra support on following up with professors or transportation to the school. Those are all reasons for students either, as Desiree had mentioned, staying in a place or having to leave. There's data around why students leave higher ed. There's data around why students return to higher ed. And we want people to have that resilience factor to move through with confidence, to know that they can make it to a four-year institution if they want, or they can get into the workforce if they want and get a trade or sustain themselves with gainful employment out of the community college certification. So
you mentioned students in a lot of cases, but you also mentioned, you know, that, you know, for example, you know, Desiree's clientele, the people that she serves, they may eventually come to you. Are your services only offered to students, or can anyone come in and say, hey, Heath, I need to know how to, you know, count my money and move beyond, you know, the basics of operating a checkbook?
Anyone. Octogenarians, folks over 100. You know, our oldest client was 100 years old. So we have the different services, including personal financial counseling and coaching, tax preparation, small business coaching, job and career readiness counseling, home buying education programs, and connecting them to folks like Hope and Donna Hurley down in Oxon Hill. We have programs that get them connected with the IT workforce. We have other programs that, for example, with in partnership with Prince George's Community Federal Credit Union, that actually has a credit builder loan match program. And credit builder loans help folks go from a 580 credit score to a 700 potentially. And this is the type of program. Earlier today, we talked about one of our clients who went from a 600 credit score to, she has over 800 credit score, owns her own business now, made it through the pandemic, and is on her feet. She used three services. She used the personal financial coaching counseling service. She used the small business coaching and the tax preparation service.
It was Sherry Kilgore, who we spoke to earlier today.
Exactly. Yes. And so we have clients who figure out how to use the medley of services, or they can use just one. Sometimes that's all they need to be that life raft to get them to the next rung in their financial journey.
Lakeisha, how would you define success in the work that you do?
Having conversations. Because we have a focus on sexual health, having a conversation and being proactive instead of reactive is certainly key. You have to kind of meet people where they are as well. And if we have those conversations up front about, just for example, asking someone about their sexual network, you typically don't have those type of conversations.
Your sexual network. What
meaning,
do you mean?
How many partners have you had before you engage? Those are conversations that come after the fact. And working in a sexual health clinic where we are testing and treating people all the time, those questions come after the fact. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely important just to have a conversation. Know your sexual network. Be proactive and not reactive.
Mm-hmm. If you had your druthers to make the work that you do even more successful, what resource do you need? I mean, is it money? Everybody always needs more money, obviously. But is there something else that people perhaps don't think about that, from the perspective of Mary Center, that you could need to even be more successful and to reach the people that you need to reach?
Well, as far as for Mary Center, money isn't an issue. You can have no money at all. You can be uninsured, underinsured. We have programs to assist everyone in the community. So money isn't an issue.
So what is it that Mary Center or other organizations like this, from your perspective, what they would need to do an even better job than the one you're already doing?
Just continue to engage with the community. We work with several organizations. We link others to support services and things like that. It's just really about keeping the community engaged. Mary Center is huge on community.
And healthy.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. You were talking about the wraparound services and not just as relates to HIV, but, you know, dental and some of the other health things, because I think that if a person is healthy, if they are less concerned about their health, then they can go about the business of being gainfully employed, finding stable housing, supporting their families. But all of us, even if we're gainfully employed, if you have an issue with your health, you don't have anything.
all those points are, they're all interrelated.
Yeah.
It's key, and it's something that we need to highlight. Mental health.
Yeah.
Behavioral health. So, yes.
Yeah, that we could talk about that for another hour. We could certainly talk about that for another hour. I only have a few minutes left. I wanted to give each of you just an opportunity to just share some final thoughts. Desiree, your final thoughts about, you know, the work that you're doing in the context of this event.
Absolutely. And so this is a exciting type of event, and we are truly appreciative of being partners with United Way. And even in a room with a bunch of different partners, you always find a way that you can connect, make a meaningful connection, and take it beyond the event. And so I've already, mental health was one of our focuses for our young people, mental health and wellness. And we already have some plans to do just that, to partner outside of this event to find ways that we can make connections for our young people that are meaningful. Mm-hmm. I'm so really excited about being here tonight and looking forward to the continued partnership.
Yeah, you're doing some interesting stuff, particularly with young people, because there's such a big concern about where young people are going in the community. And if we can keep them engaged, even from middle school all the way up, and employed, whether they go to college, military, or straight into the job market, it certainly is a benefit to the greater Absolutely. Community. Heath, a final word from you as well.
Yeah, the United Way is a big partner and proponent in combating inequality. And the Financial Empowerment Center at Prince George's Community College is a big partner in combating the injustices that are systemic. And systemic racism is a part of that. And other types of conflictual things like people's mental health, which is why our core team is all mental health first aid certified, which is why we also invoke gameplay, because gameplay can be cathartic. It can make it fun. And you have to make financial education fun. It has to get beyond things like budgeting and just planning and savings and reducing debt. It has to be fun for folks as well, and we try to add that component in.
Lakeisha, your final word from you.
So just a little bit. As far as for Mary Center, one mantra that we do stand on is no barriers to care.
Okay.
And we want the community to know that, as I've mentioned before, whether you're underinsured, uninsured, you don't have the means to pay, Mary Center has programs available. And we'll meet you where you are. We have testing units, we have mobile vans, but we'll come to you in the community just to ensure that you have the services that you need and they're available.
Real quick, what's the website for Mary Center?
Yes, Mary Center, you can check the website at maryscenter.org, or you can also reach us by phone, 202-699-2163.
Desiree, website for you.
Sure. So Hillside Works Scholarship Connection is under the umbrella of Hillside Family of Agencies. So www.hillside.com, and you will search for the Prince George's County region.
Okay. And Heath, real quick.
pgcc.edu/go/FEC. And then we can be reached at 301-546-5296 or 1332.
Okay. Lakeisha, Desiree, Heath, thank you all for joining the conversation. And I also want to thank United Way, National Capital Area, all of its partners, as well as Prince George's Community College for participating in this broadcast and all that everyone here has done to improve the quality of life of the people that you're serving. That is the Daily Drum for this Monday, October 3rd. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.